I love those words. You're no rival. There's no equal. We've got to believe it in our lives. Amen. You've got to believe it in His word, that His purposes that surround your life are greater than any challenge, anything that you face. Amen. Well, you may be seated for a moment. Give the worship team a hand. Incredible. Just a couple of announcements before we do anything else. We have a fundraiser next Sunday. We've got nutshells. Everyone say nutshells. For our kids at start, we're doing an outreach in schools. And so come, all you've got to do next Sunday is arrive hungry. That shouldn't be too easy. Just don't have breakfast. And by the end of the service, you'll be starving and you'll be ready to eat. And also, we've got a new check-in system if you've got kids. It means make sure we're doing our praise and worship up front, so you check your kids straight in upstairs as soon as you arrive. So you can check your kids downstairs or upstairs, and then you've got to check them out. If you don't check them out, we'll keep them. No, we won't. We'll hand them back. Some of you are going, yeah, no. Can't be like that. And then next Sunday is our Heart for the House offering next Sunday. And right throughout June, we've been handing out, we've been focusing in on other churches. So we've got Heart for the House brochures. Hopefully you've seen one of those. There should be some we can hand out now. The ushers will do that in a moment, like now. Here they come. And well, the whole idea behind this is once a year in June, on the last Sunday of June, we do a Heart for House offering, and it's something that goes over and above our tithes and just allows us as a church to build into the areas. So this morning we focused in on youth. Last week was care. The week before that was kids' church. And this goes just to see our church expand. Amen? And so if this is your house and you've got a heart for this house, this is what we do just to see it grow. And the last thing I want to do right now is an opportunity to take up your tithes and your offerings. Let me just pray. I mean, this might be your service for the night. But let me just pray before we do that. God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to give, God. And we thank you that we honor you with our giving, just as we honor you in many other areas in our lives, God. We give our lives to you, God, and we lift up your word, and we honor you as our Savior. God, we honor you tonight with our finances. And God, I pray, Father God, as we understand what tithing is and giving to you is, God, that we would see your redemptive power released across our finances. And God, that you would bless every individual and every household represented here today in your mighty name. Amen. Thank you, ushers. And then we're going to jump into our message for tonight. Might somebody grab Brad? Can you just grab the pulpit? Are you doing well? Here we are. Almost. We're fully into winter. And this is where coming out at night gets a challenge, correct? Not for you guys. You're full of faith, full of life. But we need to, before we do anything else, we've got a few people that are sick with flus. So why don't we pray? Some of our coaches, some of our families, quite a few people right now are struggling with the flu. So before we get into anything, we are a church family. Why don't we just pray? God, we believe in your health and your well-being over our lives. God, we believe in your promise of health. And God, whether it be the flu or some other sickness or illness that is we're dealing with, God, we just choose to believe in your healing power. And God, we release it into those households, into those individuals, Father God. God, we claim the name of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we release healing, Father God. As your word says, by your stripes we were healed. And we release that word power of it, God, into every household, every individual. The representative is not here today, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen or amen. I'm not quite sure which one you do. So tonight we're going to talk about, our topic is nobody is called to do life alone. And I guess over the course of my life as a pastor, I think one of the greatest strategies that I've seen the enemy use is one to isolate people from his body. And I've seen every single reason you could think of for someone not to be to be tipped into church and to not be part of a community. The enemy just works overtime to try and get you disconnected from his community. And he tries every means possible. And, you know, this time of year, sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes, to be blunt, it's sport. Sometimes it's just too dark. It's too cold. It's something like that. It's some reason. And God will, the enemy will use any means because he knows the power of his church coming together and walking our faith alone. You were never designed to be by yourself in your relationship with God. If Jesus actually wanted it that way, then he would have turned up and he would have just done his thing on this earth by himself, spoke to the 5,000 men, which turns out to be 20,000 odd people, gone from place to place and just spoken his word. But the very first thing Jesus did when he came out of the wilderness after he'd been tempted by the devil and his ministry was released, straight away he went looking for a community called the 12 disciples. And he gathered them around himself. So I think we've got to realize that the enemy is working overtime in our lives and in our children's lives to try and get them isolated out of the body of Christ and get them alone. And there's a reason for that. We're going to look at point one. The devil loves to isolate a believer. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 to 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So the enemy, like a lion, hunts. You know, I don't know, years ago I did a message on this and I showed how we watched, sadly, a video on a lion on how it picks an animal from the herd, and it looks for someone that's weak or isolated or distracted, or, you know, a baby or an older cow or what have you. It sits on the outskirts and then they pounce on the alone one. When they can get an animal alone, if you ever watch those documentaries, they can be quite brutal, right? And you watch how they operate. That's how they operate. And that's exactly, I believe, how the enemy operates. He likes to get you out of the core of what God's trying to do and around other people and get you put to the side and isolate you. And it's quite often a very subtle thing, but it's something that I think has a lot of effect on a believer. You get by yourself and all sorts of things can happen. If you become isolated, there are all sorts of things. I mean, you are actually not called to develop as a Christian just based off your revelation with God. You're actually called to be a part of a body. If you decide to build your relationship with God off your revelation, that's when you become actually quite weird. And I've seen people become hermits with some theology or something, because they disconnect themselves from other people. Being in a room of other believers actually brings balance to you. You in this room, you have some things. I'll talk about some aspect of God and they'll be like, that's so me. And then there'll be a person next to you, I'll talk about some aspect of God and you'll go, yeah, it doesn't really relate to me. But they'll be like, wow, that was the best. Sometimes over the years I've spoken, some people come up and go, that topic was just amazing. And other people are like, yeah. Because we're all different, right? And I think God uses that collective. Why did it? And we'll go through some of this, we'll unpack some of this understanding. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Obviously, we can be surrounded by, I mean, we live in a generation now where everyone's got social media friends, but you can still be alone. We know that. We know that in society, that people can be in a crowd, but right now in society, statistics tell us that there are more isolated and alone people than there ever has been. So we've got all the technology in the world, but we can still feel very alone. God wants you to be part of a community that you feel a belonging to, and you were created to belong. In God's kingdom, you were created to belong. And the enemy will use everything to get you isolated and away from God's body. He will use arguments, personality differences, the secular media, feeling like you don't fit in, just in any way he can. He'll use offense. It's probably one of the biggest ones I've seen over my lifetime in church. Two people get offended either with each other within the church or with something to do with the church or it's one message or one aspect or what have you. The enemy uses anything and everything to pick you off and get you off to the back and off to the side, and then he can isolate you and bring you away from what God's doing. And I've been in church since I got saved, around 21. And I think I've seen everything. I've had great friends who are suddenly not going to church because someone offended them, or I've seen people offended because the church doesn't talks about money or blessing too much, and I've seen people offended because the church doesn't. I think I've just heard everything, and you sit there and think, wow. And the bottom line is, the enemy will use any means he can to get you isolated. Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. We got to understand this fight, this feeling to isolate doesn't come from God. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against God. So if you've got feelings to isolate yourself, get away from this community, you've got to realize that that feeling, that desire is not godly and it doesn't come from God. So sometimes we could feel everything. We might have walked in and we actually might have been part of our youth or something, and someone offended us, we said something ugly to us, or someone said something in church nasty, or someone did something. Do you know what? What we've got to realize sometimes, we've got to stop ourselves and again, you know what? It's God's desire for me to stay in community. And the enemy right now is using this situation to isolate me, to get me out of here, to get me out of the place that he wants me to be. So sometimes it's just like anything. It's like we've just got to stop and go, do you know what? Does God want me to do this? And actually make a decision ourselves that is not God's desire for us to stick at home or disappear or not be part of a community, not stop coming to youth or stop coming to some area because something has happened. Almost, I guess, how I process this is the enemy will do everything to offend me, use someone to offend me. So sometimes you're just ready for it. I can walk off stage and someone can go, oh, this is bang, get into your face. And it's just, there's so many opportunities. But I think you've got to make a decision that I'm going to be part of God's community, I'm going to be part of his kingdom, I'm not going to allow myself to be isolated, I'm not going to be that easily offended. Number two, lifestyle of freedom, coaches, groups. What are they? The reason why we do this coaching thing, and sometimes, I've heard some people go, you know, it's a little bit too confronting, it's in your face, what have you. Well, you know what? The problem is in this society, people want to sit into a crowd, and it's so comfortable to sit in a crowd and not interact. But actually, that's not the model that Christ gave us. That's part of the model. But the whole model is that we actually find ourselves opposite someone who can look us in the face and ask us questions, and we can start to open up. That's when we start to trigger discipleship. If you look in Acts 2:46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. The reality is, no matter what you think, even if you go to youth on a Friday night, you could be in that room and empowered. You can slip out. You might be in a little group where they don't do a lot of interaction. But the reality is, you've got to be in somewhere where someone gets to know you and you get to know them. Then something different will start to happen. If your church experiences is about just being in a public meeting and zipping out, then you're missing out on a whole chunk of what God wants to do in your life. Are you still with me? As you see it, God actually never designed the church to be this way. He designed it to be in a place where we actually interact and we get to know each other. And you know what? For some people, that's just downright hard. It's easy to slip in the back of a very large crowd and just sit there and then slip out again. Some people just love that. It's like heaven because it works easily. You get a bit of a drop in, you get a bit of a message, you get an experience, and then you zip out. And then, but when you get somewhere where someone comes like this, and this is one of the reasons why we add coaching into this, because we're actually forcing you to actually engage in a community. Because we just don't want to leave you in a situation where that's all you do is just be in a public meeting. So if you look at right through the Word of God, you had small groups, you had Jesus going to people's houses. I mean, he was the creator of the universe, but he did a lot of miracles actually in people's homes. God moves in small communities. God moves through this aspect of not just the public meeting, but also being interactive around other people. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to introduce you to community by doing these coaching groups. Get you reflecting and thinking and connecting. Psalm 68, verse 6, God places the lonely in families. Everyone belongs in God's community. I truly believe that. I believe that every single person belongs in the community. And sometimes to belong in a community means that you've got to do some work as well. One of the funniest things I find in this day and age is people actually expect the community to do everything. And if it doesn't fit, well, it's not going to work. But if you moved, let's say you moved to some isolated town and you with your family and you plonked yourself there and that's all you had, and you had that attitude where if the community doesn't come to you and doesn't interact and initiate, then you're not going to connect. The reality is you'd never connect. Sometimes when we come into a community like this, we've got to go out of our ways to connect and allow ourselves to connect and understand that God actually wants us to do that. And there's a power in doing that. And I've seen literally people come in here with a heart to connect and they connect straight away, very quickly. And I've seen people who are just like, no, unless the community comes to me, unless the pastor calls me, unless his wife meets me for coffee, or unless someone chases me down or calls me 14, 15 times and chases me, I'm not going to connect in there. But the reality is you can find community if you have a heart to. Is this okay? Nobody is called to do life alone. Your Christianity is not any different. Luke 19 is a story about there's the large crowd. Obviously, we know this. We know this miracle. And this is where they fed the 5,000 men. I referred to that, which really, biblically, would be around now 20,000, because that's just men. That wasn't women and that wasn't children who were there. So we're talking 20,000 people, and straight away Christ split them into groups of 50. God thinks community. God, there's no doubt in my mind when God thought of you and he thought of that, he was thinking of what body you're going to be a part of. Sometimes when we think God thinks of us, he's thinking of us individually, but no, he actually thinks about where he's going to fit you. And it says in Ephesians, we're knitted and we're fitted. So he's actually thinking when he created you where you're going to be best knitted and where you can be best fitted. That's how he designs us. He designs us to be a part of us. He knew that the likes of Joel here would be a part of youth group. He knew that. At my youth. He knew that Elizabeth literally I think the very first Sunday would be a part of Bay City. It has been for this many years. He knew that. And he knew that they were part of something that is God's heart. God, our heart is to obviously to grow as a church, but to get smaller through community. God's solution for this dilemma is community developed through small groups of people. God knows you need community to develop you. You can grow, I've said this before from the pulpit, but you can grow in your relationship with Christ at home by yourself as you develop your own walk with Christ, and that is vital. But we are also called to be disciples and to go make disciples, and both of these require us to be connected to others. See, discipleship, when Jesus created disciples, that process of discipleship was not just Jesus. Come on. That process of discipleship that Jesus did for 3 and a bit years that changed the earth was a process of Jesus, yes, but it was also the process of the 12 and how they interacted with each other. Are you with me? We can't be naive and just think it was just like that. It was actually a process of both. It was Jesus being the head of that group, but if he wanted to create something, he would have done it by himself, but he didn't. And it was the interaction between the other disciples with Christ and the interaction with the other disciples with each other that produced what we know today as the church. Are you with me? And if we don't get that in our heads, if we think for some reason we can do that, then we're actually missing out on everything that God's got for us. Because there's such a power to the community of Christ. I can tell you some of the greatest challenges in my life from God have come from someone else in the church community. Either someone that I've submitted myself to over the years I've served and led in the church, who have actually spoken something or challenged something in my life I didn't want to hear about. Sometimes it's been working alongside someone that I found a challenge, personality-wise, that brought about a huge change in me. And initially I wanted to run, take off, tell them what I thought, all sorts of things. And I found, years later, I found out that person actually created something. God used them to create something great in my life. As we look at this, Proverbs 27, verse 23, know the state of your flock. Put your heart into caring for your herd. We want to care for you. This is how God talks about his people. He cares for us and he uses us to care for each other. If we don't get that, we're missing a lot. If you think that how you might say, God, I wish you just really got involved in my life. I've got so much going on and I just want to see your blessing and your wisdom released in my life. I want to see you look after my children. I want to see you look after my youth. And then God says, great, I'll do that, but I'll use my people to do it. So we isolate ourselves and bring ourselves over here. We're actually leaving ourselves out of a huge part of God's plan. Because you know, there's so many things we understand about God, but if we don't get that, the fact that God works through community and a body, we're missing a huge chunk. I can honestly tell you as a parent, I'll stand here as a parent, I thank God for my youth group as a parent. Simple as that. And I would look any parent in the eye and go, you are nuts if you don't get your kids to youth. If you don't get your kids to children's church, you're crazy. And if you don't get your kids to youth, you're even crazier. Simple as that. Because it takes a community, like a faith-desired community, to raise a child. True? We're not the most incredible parents. Some people think we wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning and have a Bible reading with our family every morning. The kids will tell you no. We don't. It would be a shock if I instigated that. But I can honestly tell you, some of the best blessings are some of the leaders and some of the people and some of their friends and the connection that's around their lives. For me as a parent, I just go, thank God they're there and not somewhere else. Amen? And I think it's something that we've got to understand as people. It takes This is how God works. And if we want God, if we want to give God the full capability of working in us and our families and our spouses' lives and our kids' lives, then give him the full ability. And if you've got that, if you're at a young age where you've got control over them, don't give them. Church, if you ask my kids, has church ever been an option? No. Why? Because I know God uses a community. And that's how he works. And so you would grab that as a parent, and grab that as we go older in life, we make sure. Last point four, we're a city on a hill, and God uses our community. It talks here in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 17. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God's flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will you taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. See, God uses our community. God uses who we are and the generosity of our lives. If you've opened your house to the church community, you're more likely to open your house up to the unsaved community. True? If you're a generous person and you allow yourself to connect to people around you, you'll do that. So what's next for us? Open your life up to community, to God's house, with God's people. It's God's desire for you to be connected in community. Therefore, initiate it. It's God's desire for you to be saved. So you took faith and maybe you made a decision at an altar call. You stepped out. And if it's God's, if you get the revelation that it's God's design for you to be in community, then by faith, initiate a connection. It's not just the church's job to be friendly to you. You need to go out of your way. It's really sad, actually, that's the way that people think. They're like, unless they call me, unless they chase me. You've got to actually see it as something that's valuable to you and go after it. If you don't know many people, go introduce yourself. It's God who's calling you to be a part of his church, not us. I love every single person that comes through this door. Absolutely. I think, great, be a part of it. But if God's called you here, then God's put the desire on you to be a part of his community. And I think it's an area in our lives that we need to open the door to. And the very simple revelation is that God, if you want all that God wants to do with you, your spouse, your family, your kids, then it takes community to do it. That's where discipleship happens. Discipleship does not happen with you at home, with Christian TV, or with yourself and your Bible and your own family. That's not discipleship. It's not how God's ever designed it. And my heart for my family, for my kids, is that they would be discipled. That they would be lovers of Christ, amen. But that they would be disciples of Christ and that they would be disciplers for Christ. And that actually happens outside of my effect, but happens in the church community. So we're going to break up into our groups, and we're going to come back for another session after that. So let's jump into that. So we'll come back at 10 past. Is that all right? That would be perfect. So wherever the groups are, turn your seats around. Hopefully you had good discussions. But I was just saying with our group over there, we purposely let our group go on to a completely different topic. And we discussed that topic, which was, very applicable. It was a bunch of young guys and it was about girls. And the reality is we let it go there simply based on the fact that to give them understanding of how community works. He had a couple of older married men, Gareth and myself, and the rest were all young men, and we just allowed the community to bring the wisdom into that. And that's the whole idea of it. That's how it works. So what we're going to do now, we're going to do part two of The Blessed Life, talking about your heart. So sit back. We got a bit of Robert Morris. And then we'll pretty much finish up straight after that. So sit back. This is great. This is part two of what we started 2 weeks ago.
Now, I do want to say, it drives selfishness out of our lives. We have to deal with a selfish heart. I do want to just say, just for a moment, ladies, that there's an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. I just want you to know, okay? We do not want to share our food. And for some reason, you want our food. And I don't understand it. And we do not want to share our food. The very first time, Pastor Tom and Jan Lane sitting on the front row, Jan said, I knew you were going to say this, sitting right there. The very first time I went to dinner with them, we were going around the table ordering. I ordered, and Jan said, oh, good, I've been wanting to try that. I'd never even met the woman, and she wanted to eat off my plate. And I said, well, you better order some, because that's the only way you're going to get any. Think about it. Come on. What does every woman say when you're at the drive-thru? What does every woman say? You say, "What? Would you like something?" No, I just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you two orders of fries, but you're not getting any of my fries. And the fries that fall in the bottom of the bag are mine too. So point number one is deal with a selfish heart. I don't know if that's directed just to the men or to all of us, all right? Here's number two, deal with a grieving heart. Grieving heart.
He spoke, generosity is in every area, and especially in the area of community. If we get a generous heart towards those around us, then we expand ourselves and our influence to those that are around us. Amen? But we're just going to pray. We're just going to pray across everyone's lives right now. So just close your eyes for a moment. And God, we take this message, God, from your servant. And God, we just allow it to challenge our hearts. God, we just, in this area of generosity, God, whether it's affected by selfishness or any of those areas that he mentioned, God, just allow us to have the hearts that you designed for us. And God, we realize that we are called to have blessed lives. And a blessed life, God, is having a heart that's after you, a heart that's generous, a heart that's open, God, and a heart that's willing to be used by you to bless other lives and bless other people. And God, I pray that challenge would go to every one of us in this room. And God, I pray for community that we would open our hearts to that and we would allow ourselves to push into this community and to allow God, you to knit us and fit us into this place, into this house, and that we would be a blessing, God. We'd allow our lives and our gifts and who we are to be connected to those that are in this house that we call Bay City. God, take all that you've done tonight, God, and I pray that you would enlarge our hearts, enlarge our lives. Give us a generous view, God, like you have with us. In your mighty name, and everybody said, amen. So that was the last of that series, and I think we've got one more next fortnight, and then that'll be the conclusion of our first series. Sound good? Who's enjoyed it so far? Give us a... You know, and I just pray that you just... This is what this is. It's designed to deal with certain things of your life. We do have a part two. We have probably a break for a few weeks, and then we'll look at part two and starting course one again. So we'll tell you all about that when it comes. But we'll see you Sunday fortnight, or if not Sunday morning, next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great rest of your night. Be blessed.